I'm sure you're familiar with some of the abbreviations that are used in texting. They say the Philippines is still the texting capital of the world. So a lot of, and I find in Tagalog, it's easier to do abbreviations because just knock out all the letter A and you still get clear communication. But anyway, the one that comes to my mind is one I ran across. Actually, some of these are getting old already, these abbreviations. But the one that came to mind was TMI. Are you familiar with that one? TMI. Too much information. Yeah. Too much information. So it's typically used when someone's going on and on, or they're saying something that's really not appropriate. Maybe it's too intimate or personal or gross or something. And so the response to the sender is TMI. In other words, don't tell me all that stuff. I don't need to hear all that. The implication is that the sender is going over the line, doing too much, saying too much, revealing too much. But you can imagine that it could also be used in the opposite sense. Let's say the sender is reminding the receiver of some obligation. Let's say, don't forget, you owe 400 pesos on your phone bill. Don't forget, the deadline is Friday. Don't forget, you have this or that responsibility. And the receiver might send back TMI, meaning, I don't want to hear you telling me that. But the fault is on the part of the receiver in that case, right? It's not the correct use of TMI, too much information. It's just an indication that the receiver is not ready to hear what is being said to him. Well, for some reason that came to my mind as I read today's gospel. Jesus starts out, this is in the midst of his discourse at the Last Supper, he starts out here saying, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. Now, Jesus is the expert communicator. He knows that a lot of what he has already said has gone over the heads of his disciples. And over our heads too. We don't really understand everything that he's saying here. But he says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. Maybe he sees in looking into their faces that they're saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. You can keep talking, but I'm not going to understand it. There's only so much we can grasp at one time. You cannot bear it now. It's not that Jesus is saying too much. It's that the receivers, meaning the disciples in this case, are unable to receive more. It's a limitation on the part of the listener, not on the part of the speaker. I'm sure you have this experience, those of you who are parents. At some point, children just don't hear anymore. They can't understand anymore. You could tell them again and again, but there's a limit to how much a child will receive. And so the parent has to back off and say, okay, the child can't understand this right now, so let's wait. Teachers, too, they have this experience. So recognizing the limitation of the receiver is also important. There's lots of cases in Scripture where people are not ready to hear what is being said. One of the classic cases we read a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was speaking about himself as the bread of life. And then he said, the bread that I will give is my flesh. You have to eat me, you have to drink my blood. And some of the people said, hey, this is too much. This is hard to take. TMI. And it's not that Jesus said too much. It's that the people were not ready to hear the extraordinary mystery about the Eucharist. Another example that comes to mind, also we heard a couple of weeks ago, when St. Stephen was proclaiming the gospel in Jerusalem. And he said not only that Jesus is risen from the dead, but he can see Jesus now seated at the right hand of the Father. Remember that? And then the crowd put their hands over their ears like that and started running toward him with their hands over their ears saying, we're not going to hear this. This is TMI. This is blasphemy. This is offensive. This is way over the top. So they put their hands over their ears. Was Stephen saying something wrong, bad? No, but the crowd couldn't handle it. Here's Jesus speaking again, the Last Supper. it's as if it's his last chance to say these things before he dies. And he says, I have much more to tell you, but now is not the time. Just a few verses further down, he says something that is also TMI for us. So what is he talking about? He says this, the Spirit, when he comes, will not speak on his own. He will declare to you what he receives from me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. And what I have comes from the Father. Everything I have, everything that the Father has is mine. And so everything that the Spirit gives to you is from me. So what is he talking about here? As if everything that we receive from the Spirit belongs to Jesus, everything that Jesus has belongs to the Father. See, we're so used to distinguishing people very, very sharply. Like, I am me and you're you, and we're not, I mean, we can talk, we can even have intimate conversation, but we're still two different people, and we don't know everything about everything that the other person knows. But when Jesus is speaking about the Father or about the Spirit, he's talking about this mutual knowledge of one another that is mind-blowing to us. Everything that the Father has is mine. Everything? Yes, everything. So much so that Jesus is the perfect, exact representation of the Father, that everything that we see, learn, hear from Jesus is the Father. If you see me, you see the Father, he says. I said, oh man. That's hard for us to take. TMI. And then Jesus says, but when the Spirit comes, everything he declares to you is coming from me. So the Spirit, everything the Spirit reveals is coming from the Son? Yes. See, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one, even though they're distinct persons. That's part of what we're encountering here. Now, Jesus said this right after he said, I have more to tell you and you can't bear it now. Then he says something that we can't bear. And if you know what happens next, because this is only chapter 16, all of chapter 17 in John, which is, we'll be reading this next week, is Jesus' words to the Father. And he's allowing the disciples to hear him talk to the Father. It's really more than we can take in. Now, the key thing here, though, is not that we're too limited and that we can't bear it now. The key thing here is the Holy Spirit, and this is what Jesus says. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, this is the paraclete that he's been talking about in the last several days. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. So it's not that Jesus is putting us down because we can't bear it now. He's giving us hope that with the coming of the Spirit, we can bear it because the Spirit will guide us into all truth. It's a very positive thing to say. Acknowledging that we can't bear it now, but the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And he is doing that. Even now, the Holy Spirit is continually guiding us into all truth, if we're willing to listen. If we're not saying TMI all the time, if we're willing to take in what is being revealed, the Holy Spirit will continually reveal more to us about God, about the plan of God for us, about ourselves, even about our sin. That's important revelation to us. Let's see how this works in the life of St. Paul. Now let's turn to the first reading. St. Paul, you gotta admire this St. Paul. Yesterday he was beaten up and thrown in prison and miraculously saved or freed. That was in Philippi, and he's with Silas, I think, at that time. In today's reading, now we skipped over a few things, but I don't remember exactly how it is that he went to Athens. But here in this reading, Paul marches into Athens, apparently all by himself. Now, the boldness of this man, the apostolic zeal of this man, it has to impress us, because Athens is the center of learning, center of culture, center of Greek, the Greek world, religiously, socially, politically, intellectually, And here's Paul, a foreigner, a Jew, a Christian, just walking into the middle of the center of culture and saying, I have something to say to you that you need to hear. I'm always trying to think of examples that would be equivalent. I can't think of any, but I always think of, UP, you go to the University of the Philippines campus in Diliman. Well, it's a powerful secular intellectual center of learning and research. But what if you go to some symposium there and say, yeah, I see that you're all really wise and well-educated, thoughtful people here, but I have something to tell you that you don't know. You can imagine, intellectuals tend to be proud anyway. And you can imagine them saying, sure, just write it down and submit it to my secretary. Or, just make a post. You don't have to waste our time now. Well, this is what happens. Paul marches into Athens. He goes to the Areopagus, which is the kind of the forum where the philosophical discussion takes place, where all the academics and the scholars and the philosophers gather and talk about the latest ideas. And he goes into the Areopagus and he says, and he gives this long speech honoring Greek culture to a certain extent. Okay, you know a lot of things, you're very religious, you even honor an unknown God. But God doesn't need all these sanctuaries, all these altars, he doesn't need, the products of our art and imagination, he doesn't need us to figure everything out. So he starts to kind of erode the very foundations on which this Areopagus is built. He says that God doesn't need this, he's the one who made us, we live and move and have our being in him. We're not the ones creating shrines for him. He's created a world for us. And then he gets to this line. God has overlooked the times of ignorance. Now, as if to say, that means all our times, all of your learning up to this point is a time of ignorance. Now he demands that all people everywhere repent because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice. This is the challenge of every preacher. A preacher eventually has to call people to repentance because that's what we need to do to receive the gospel. So he calls them to repentance, and then he says, he has done this, God has done this through a man he has appointed. He hasn't mentioned the name of Jesus yet. A man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. At the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And he doesn't even mention his name, and they start to react. When they heard about resurrection of the dead, they said, TMI. We don't want to hear this. Some began to scoff. Others said, we should like to hear you on this some other time. A polite way of saying, we're not interested. So what was the problem here? Did Paul really give them too much information? Did he make a mistake in proclaiming the gospel in this Areopagus? No. The fault is not on Paul's side. There's a limit to what the audience could receive or was willing to receive. So it's wrong use of TMI. He didn't give them TMI. Their reaction showed that they weren't ready. So the Holy Spirit was at work. The Holy Spirit was guiding them into all truth, even though they don't know. And they know truth. They know a lot of truth, philosophers. But they weren't ready to be guided into any more truth. And so Paul leaves. He makes a few converts, but it's basically not an absolute failure, but a pretty dismal response. What are we supposed to make of this? One thing I always connect this Areopagus event to is the modern forum of the exchange of ideas, that is the internet. The modern Areopagus is certainly the internet and all its different forms of social media, where people can launch into the, whatever they call that, cloud, the space, the internet space. They can launch any new idea that they want to. And that's what people do. They make a video, they make a Facebook post or some kind of social media submission, and they launch it into the space, Twitter, they make a tweet. And we know what happens. I think you know what happens. Most things that get launched into the Twitterverse or the blogosphere or whatever you call it get mercilessly ridiculed. The reactions to videos and posts are very often just absolutely nasty. Insults, jokes, you know, and just rejection on every kind. So people have learned that you have to have a pretty thick skin if you're going to present some idea into this open forum of the internet. And a lot of the things that are posted are worthless. I mean, so it's not necessarily bad that they get ridiculed because they probably should never have been said in the first place or posted in the first place. There's lots of videos and images that should never have been posted. But there are people, and I think it's a right thing to do, who post the gospel, who make efforts to proclaim the gospel. That's a good thing, because that's what the Areopagus is for. It's for new ideas. It's for the exchange of ideas. And the gospel has its place there. But we shouldn't be surprised if we get the same response that Paul got in Athens. Mostly ridicule, rejection, or just plain not even paying any attention, and then a few who will receive and welcome the word. Well, right now in this Mass, I think is being live streamed. There might be, sometimes there's three viewers, four, maybe at most six viewers, and they might not even be watching. They might just have the computer on and might not be watching or listening. But who knows? I don't know. Then it gets stuck on Facebook for a while, and who knows, someone might pick it up and find a gem of the gospel. The Holy Spirit can use these seeds scattered out into the world of the internet to be planted in the good soil of someone's heart. So it's right to do it, but we shouldn't put much hope in the Areopagus, in the level of intellectual, cultural, high society. It's not very good soil. We still have to do it, but let's be realistic about it. Paul, for his part, leaves Athens. He doesn't spend much time there because there's not too much good soil, and he goes to Corinth, which is the rough and tumble seaport area, and he has much greater success there. Well, we'll get to that later this week. For now, let's just remember, we ourselves are limited. We all have our dysfunctions. We all have our prejudices, our whatever, our mindset that is not good soil for the gospel. But the Holy Spirit, sent from the Father and the Son, will lead us into all truth. That's our hope. God is truth. He wants us to know Him. He sends us His Spirit so that we will know Him fully. And our journey now is a journey into the fullness of the truth.